Now, would you please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This morning, we'll look at verses 1 through 6. Matthew 7, 1 through 6. And once you've found that in your Bible, would you please stand in honor of God as His Word is read? Matthew 7, 1 through 6. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying these words, and He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." And thank you, you may be seated. A good question to ask people to find out something about them spiritually is, what is your favorite Bible verse? And the answers vary pretty widely. Some people might say John 3:16. Some people might say Romans 8:28. Maybe it's Psalm 1, a verse in Psalm 1, or Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Maybe it's something else completely. Mine happens to be 1 Corinthians 10:31, which is, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Now, that's what mine is. But what do you think the favorite verse of a non-Christian would be? And this is the one that is quoted most often. Matthew 7:1. "Judge not, that you be not judged." Actually, usually only the first two verses or two words are even quoted. "Judge not." That has even surpassed John 3:16 as the most recognized Bible verse in the world because people quote it so often. Matthew 7:1. Now, why is this important? Because if we think, once we've read that verse, if we think that Jesus is teaching us here that all forms of judgment are wrong and forbidden, then something like church discipline, corrective church discipline, would be impossible. And one of the most common objections to corrective church discipline is the idea that we're not supposed to judge anybody. And if that's the case, then we can't ever proceed with any form of church discipline. But now, is that true? Is that what Jesus really taught? Now, this is important because it is one of the most common objections to church discipline, which we just got through spending three sermons talking about. This is an objection that comes up almost immediately whenever the subject of church discipline is brought up. "But didn't Jesus say that we're not supposed to judge?" Well, is that what He said? And if it's what He said, because He did say, "Judge not," but what does He mean by it? Now, the answer that we come up with is important because if we're going to be a healthy church that glorifies God, we need to understand it. And if we're going to be a church that practices and understands biblical church discipline, we have to understand this objection because it's going to come up. And our culture is also very, very confused on this issue specifically. Now, the larger context of what Jesus said here in Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There's also a version of it, a shorter version, in Luke chapter 6. And what it is it's an explanation of how members of God's kingdom live. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is. It's not a how-to guide, for example, of here's how to be saved. Read the Sermon on the Mount and then do it. And then you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. You'll, in effect, earn the kingdom. That is not what the purpose is. And also, by the way, the purpose is not for us to read or listen to Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount and say, I can't do anything in there, it's way too hard, the standard is too high, therefore, the only reason Jesus is preaching this is to show me that the standard is too high and that I can't reach it anyway. So we simply ignore it, basically. And no, it is not set off until some future time when what Jesus says will apply. It applies now. Chapter 7, in specific, really relates to living in the fear of God. And making judgments on other people has to be understood against that backdrop of living in the fear of God. Now first, verse 1 is, we might say, ground zero of this idea. And really, this is the most, it really sets the stage for what follows in this section. Judge not, that you be not judged. That's the basic principle. It's the key for the entire passage. Everything else that Jesus teaches flows from this. This is what he's talking about, in other words. This is his topic sentence. What does judge mean? Well, it has several meanings, and they're all interrelated. It means to separate or distinguish, to come to a choice by making a decision, which is either positive or negative, to pick out or choose by separating, to form an opinion or conclusion about something, to make an assessment or an evaluation. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with doing any of these things. Nothing at all. So, what does Jesus mean when he says, judge not, that you be not judged? Is he saying that we can never do any of the things that I just mentioned with judging and defining it? Is he saying we can never make an evaluation? We can never separate or distinguish? We can never come to a choice by making a decision that is either positive or negative? Is he saying that we can't pick out something or choose something or separate two things? That we can't form an opinion or get to a conclusion about something? So what is he saying here? Well, we'll find that out. And that's what I want to do in this sermon, is find that out. What does this mean? First, I think we need to understand that Jesus' words are very often misunderstood and they're misused. And sadly, even by quite a few Christians. First of all, here are some examples of what might be said. People may say that we should never make moral judgments about right or wrong in other people. So in other words, you can't say that something is wrong with someone, but by the same token, you wouldn't be able to say that anything was right either. Deepak Chopra, who's probably been on the Oprah Winfrey Show a lot, he's an Indian guy, I think, Eastern spirituality, best-selling author, he said this: attractive people neither judge themselves or others. That's the idea. You just don't judge yourself, don't judge anybody else. That's this first idea, that we can't make any moral judgments. Some would say that we can never point out faults in someone else, even if it's constructive criticism. And they'll simply say, well, hey, didn't Jesus say, judge not, lest you be judged? Some will say that we should never expose those who teach false doctrine, error, or even heresy, because we're not supposed to judge anybody. So don't point that out. Some would say, falsely, that no one should judge anyone unless they have no sin themselves. And to do that, they have to misinterpret John 8:7, which says, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." If the only person who can make moral judgments is someone with no sin, who is the only person who can make moral judgments? The Sunday school answer is correct here. Jesus, right. Now, some might think, well, I'm being very spiritual by taking that position. I'm being holy and righteous and spiritual by taking that position. Jesus is the only one who can judge. In one sense, that's true. He's the only one who can perfectly judge. But that statement doesn't make any sense because of what he says elsewhere, when he tells us to do that very thing. Also, some would say that any form of corrective church discipline then, therefore, is ruled out because of what Jesus said, "Judge not." So we can't do that. So we can't say that certain behavior is out of bounds with anybody at all. Now, we need to understand this. This is the spirit of our age. This is very, very strong in our society and in our world today. You can hear it literally everywhere. And the pressure is strong. Don't judge anybody. Don't judge anybody. Who are you to judge? You shouldn't do that. Don't judge me. All of these things, it's very, very strong. And there is a false idea of tolerance. And I say it's a false idea of tolerance because it's not the classic definition of tolerance. Tolerance, classically defined, means that you treat somebody with courtesy and respect even though you disagree with them and think they're wrong. But today's idea and definition of tolerance is there is no right and wrong. There just isn't any, so you can't even make the statement, or you're being intolerant. And by the way, that is one of the number one things that those of us who follow Jesus Christ are going to be charged with. You're intolerant. And what's the answer to that? Oh, no, we're not. The answer is, well, yes, we are, according to the classic definition. Yes, we are. What this is, it's a desire in the heart of a non-believing world for complete and absolute tolerance. It's a religious and social climate where nobody ever says anybody is ever doing anything wrong. You just can't call anything wrong, nothing. And it comes from moral relativism. That is, there is no right or wrong, which, by the way, what is that? That is a statement of moral absolutes. There is no such thing as right and wrong is a moral absolute. So what you do when someone says that is you ask somebody, is that statement true? Is that statement absolutely true, that there are no absolutes? And they'll have to, if they're thoughtful, they'll think about it for a moment. Well, that does sound like an absolute statement. Yes, it does. You could say, absolutely. That is an absolute statement. So what is wrong in our society? And here's where they fall down on it. Here's where they're not consistent. If the idea is that nobody ever says that anything is ever wrong, except saying that something is wrong. That's wrong. That can't be tolerated in our age of tolerance for all views and all people and all lifestyles and all sins and all form of evil. We just accept it all, except the person who says that's wrong. Then we're the intolerant one by saying that. I don't think we can underestimate the power of that type of thinking in our world today. We've all faced it. It's everywhere. Now, are those who say that all judging is forbidden right? No, they aren't. They're wrong by saying that. And yes, I have just judged them as being wrong. And Jesus did too. You've heard me say this before. Never read a Bible verse, ... without continuing to read further down. Don't just look at Matthew 7:1 and quote it and stop. There's more to it than that. He said more about it and clarified what he means. And if we keep reading, we'll find out that Jesus is teaching the exact opposite of you can never make any kind of a judgment on anyone at any time, in any place, anywhere. And I'm convinced that one of the best things that we can do, again, is to study the Bible in context. That means you read the whole passage. You read the entire passage. Sometimes when people will say, what does this mean? I'm not sure I understand this verse. Keep reading. Very often, your question will get answered. Matthew 7, 1-6 show us that Jesus himself judged, and that there are times when we are obligated to judge. Obligated to do it. The second thing we need to understand here is that all forms of judgment are not ruled out. Even with what Jesus said here, again, if we only quote verse 1, we're in trouble. But if we look at what he said in verses 2 through 6, it's clear that all forms of judgment aren't forbidden. The immediate context shows us that there are cases when judgment is necessary. Verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs or swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Now, what do we have to know in that passage? We have to know who the dogs are. We have to know who the pigs are, enable to not give them what is holy. If Jesus says, don't give dogs what is holy, don't throw your pearls before pigs, we have to know who dogs are and who pigs are, and we also have to know what is holy and what is a pearl. We have to make a judgment, in other words. Some people have referred to this verse as the dogs and hogs verse. You know, don't give dogs what is holy, and don't throw your pearls before hogs. Now, who are those people? Most likely, they are people who refer or who continuously and adamantly reject the gospel, which is holy and which has the value of pearls. Something very costly and very valuable. Now, a little further on, in chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Now, we can't do either of those things unless we judge. We have to judge fruit, and then we can make a decision, an evaluation, on who's a false prophet and who is not a false prophet. But if we're not allowed to make any evaluations, then we can't do that. Then we are powerless against false prophets. because we can't judge them. If what Jesus is saying, if what some people claim Jesus is saying is what he is actually saying, I don't think Jesus is going to contradict himself in the space of a couple of sentences. Also, Jesus himself made a very clear judgment in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And they will then, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What did Jesus do there? He made a judgment. He judged them. He made a very clear evaluation of them. Now, the larger context of the Bible, not just the immediate context of Matthew 7, 1 through 6, but also the larger context of the Bible shows us the same thing, that all judgments are not ruled out. Jesus in John 7, 24 says, judge with right judgment. Judge with right judgment. John 7, 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, one of the passages that we looked at on church discipline. In verse 5, Paul says, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. There's judgment being talked about there. They had to make a decision. Paul already told them earlier, you need to remove this man from the assembly. They had to judge that what he was doing was serious enough for that to happen. Then in 1 Corinthians 5:12, he says this, is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? He'd just gotten through saying, we're not judging the outsiders here. But then he says, is it not those who are in the church that you're supposed to judge? So yes, we are supposed to do that. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed. In order to do that, you have to make an evaluation. You've got to judge something as being true or false. And we're told to do it. Philippians 3:2. Look out for the dogs, or as some versions put it, beware of the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. People who do that in Paul's day and age, or in our day and age, are not going to have a sign on them that says, I am a spiritual dog. Okay? I am a spiritual evildoer. They aren't going to have a hat that says on it, I mutilate the flesh. So what Paul is saying there is, you have to look out for these people. You've got to be on the alert and make a decision. You've got to make a judgment. It has to be based on fact, but you have to make a judgment. And then 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Again, if every type of judging is ruled out by Jesus, judge not, then we can't obey any of these commands. We can't obey any of them because we can't judge anybody, because we can't make an evaluation. And that would turn them into nothing more than nonsense. All of these commands would be nonsense because we could not obey them due to the fact that they're contradicted by another one. Now, logically also, ruling out all judgments makes no sense at all. We've looked at the immediate context, the larger context of the Bible. Now, logical context. Rational beings, humans, make judgments. Everyone who engages in rational thoughts judges. We make thousands of them every day. Thousands of judgments. Should I wear this or that? You know, I picked out a tie this morning. I could have picked out the tie right next to it, but I didn't. I made a judgment based on numerous factors. There's tremendous calculus that goes into which tie I'm going to wear. Tremendous calculus. And especially since I have told students at school anyway, when I go to teach, I've told them that they'll never see me in the same tie. So I have to be careful with that. I have to discern. I have to evaluate. I also have to have a box where I can put the ties that I've worn so I don't wear them again because I'll forget. But we all make evaluations, judgments. We choose, we separate every day what to wear, what to eat, what not to eat, what's good to eat, what's not good to eat. Okay, we make those judgments all the time. When we go someplace, should I go this way or should I go that way? We make judgments about the other drivers, not ourselves usually. We make judgments about the other drivers. You shouldn't do that. You should do that. That wasn't good. We make judgments when we go to the store. That's too expensive. I don't like that. Ew, why would you want to get that? You know, this type of a thing. Or, boy, we have to have that. We make judgments constantly. Whether or not something that someone said was good or bad. If we put a recorder around us that could record not only what we said, but also what we thought, it would include, I would think, thousands of value judgments every day. That was good, that was bad. People shouldn't behave that way. That was a really good thing to do. Okay? We make these constantly. And if Jesus is saying, judge not that you be not judged, then we shouldn't be doing any of that. Because it isn't just things about what to wear and what not to wear. It's also moral value. Again, is this good or is this bad? Is this right or wrong? Should we do it or not do it? Then we shouldn't even be doing those type of things, which makes no sense. Because no one can live this. Even the people who say, what Jesus said in Matthew 7:1 cancels out any judgment whatsoever. They can't live it out because they're constantly making judgments. Constantly. Also, the statement, you shouldn't judge, is itself a judgment. Why? And that's what the answer ought to be. When somebody comes to you and they says, you shouldn't judge, one word in response. One word. Why? And they'll say, because judging is wrong. And then you say, is that a judgment? Yes, it is. They have judged you for being judgmental. Okay? They're judging a judger. So what are they? A judge who's judging a judger. They're doing the same thing. It's called a self-refuting statement. Like this statement. I cannot speak a single sentence in English. That statement is self-refuting. Because it is a single sentence in English. Or when someone says, I'm sorry, but I don't speak any English. Yes, you do, because you just told me that, and I understood it, and it wasn't in Swahili, okay? And I understood it. Now, that might be all you know, or they know, but they can't say, I don't speak any English, because they do, even though it might be six words. It's a self-refuting statement. they're guilty of the very thing that they have accused someone else of doing, judging. If all judging is wrong, we could not only, by the way, never say that anything was bad, but we could also never call anything good. Because those two go together. You can't have one without the other. You can't have one. So most of the time, people associate judging with something that's negative. You're judging that. Ah, you're saying something. You're saying I shouldn't do that, or you're saying that's bad, and you shouldn't say that. But no one says you shouldn't judge when we say, I really like what you're doing. I think it's good. I think God's pleased with that. Hey, do they come at you with Matthew 7:1? Judge not, lest you be judged. Stay away from me. You know, don't do that. No. They say, oh, thank you. Thank you. But it's a judgment. So if we can't say anything's wrong, we also can't say anything's right. So this idea makes no logical sense. None whatsoever. You could never say, for example, that a movie was good. You could never say that a restaurant was good. You could never say anything was good, because that's a judgment. And we can't make judgments, because that's what Jesus said, is what some people will say. Another ant, by the way. Sorry, I'm fixating on this morning. That one left a little trail there. So anyway, just a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look. I pull back the curtain just a little bit on what's going on my pulpit while I'm preaching. Little ants every little. By the way, I haven't had an ant on here for a long time, so that's why I'm noticing them all of a sudden. Now, if one gets on my Bible, that might be another story. That ant might meet a very quick and violent end, but not on the page. I'm not sure how to deal with that, but anyway. The third thing we need to realize and understand is that there are forms of judging which are ruled out. So what I'm saying is not, yes, God's called us to judge, and He's called us to judge everything and everybody all the time. No, He hasn't. There are some that are ruled out. Verse 3, Matthew 7:3. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What Jesus is condemning here is hypocritical judging. So hypocritical judging is not right, and it is ruled out. In other words, this is a person who is blind to their own sins, and it's best that they don't spend a lot of time judging anybody. The person that Jesus is describing here is deceived. They're deceiving themselves, first of all, by being critical and judgmental of someone else over something that is usually very small, when something very large is wrong in their own life. Jesus calls that hypocritical judgment, and the Pharisees are perfect examples of that. All you need to do is read Matthew 23. Now, we need to be critical. We need to be critical. If we're going to be critical on anybody, be critical of ourselves and be gracious and patient with other people. If you want to be hard on somebody, be hard on yourself, in other words. A speck that Jesus talks about is a very small piece of wood or chaff or straw, and it might even be a splinter that would be something that would irritate. On the other hand, a log is a beam of wood, a very big piece of wood, or the main beam of a building. It's like one of these 8 beams in the sanctuary, as opposed to a splinter. That's the difference. Imagine what that would look like, which is the point that, of the contrast that Jesus is making. Here's somebody with one of these things in their eye, and they're going to try to pick out a splinter in somebody else's. So what Jesus says is, get rid of that one first. Get rid of the beam first. That's hypocritical judging. The Lord Jesus also condemns judgment without mercy or love in verse 2. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He talks about this more in Luke 6, 36 through 42. The phrase we get from it is, what goes around comes around. If you're going to judge without mercy or love, then that is how you are going to be judged by other people. And we don't want that to happen. Other forms of judging are ruled out too in other places in the Bible. Passing final judgment on someone, for example, we can't do that. Only God.